Welcome. Welcome back after a week off. We are back with live.
We are back.
Live. Reactions, opinions, bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, let's take a flashback to Brett's most awesome take ever, and which is why I pulled out a jersey from an old box in the garage.
Just some old thing.
Gave it a nice wash, and I had to put it on today. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big jersey guy, but I'll put it on to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened yesterday that made you eat your words?
The greatest goal scorer of all time, officially, had broken Gretzky's record.
Mister not going to do it this year, but he did it with 6 games left.
It's incredible. He scored 40 plus again.
He's third in the NHL in goals.
Honestly, you can't ever say that anybody predicts that. Like, no way. 40 goals at almost 40. That's something that the NHL doesn't get. Although, as you're well aware, fans, thank you, I also said that it was very possible that this could happen. And I didn't think he was going to make it. And I didn't think he was going to make it even when he got within 5. Like, and it wasn't because I didn't think he could or that he wasn't good enough. It's just Father Time typically in these moments, for some reason, finds a way to win. And it would be less impactful, yes or no, overall feeling for him to do it early next year versus this timing. True? Like, the feeling may be the same, but also, like, you can't tell me the vibe's the same almost to the playoffs versus doing it early next year would be the same vibe. Like, I think to me it's a much better story as that with the broken leg and like the hockey story of it all, I think is so much better this year and it's fitting. I think it's great. I do. I think it's
love
great.
Your justification.
There's no justification. I was dead wrong. I admit I was dead wrong in that take and Brett was correct. I give you mad props. I think he's a phenomenal athlete, especially for someone that doesn't train the same, eat the same.
No.
It's so crazy to me that he's so dominant. Is that part of his secret sauce, or is it like, man, if he really did train, how much better could he be?
Well, like you said, he is getting older and such. Sure. So, like, and you definitely do see he doesn't impact as much as he used to.
Well, he still is going to almost have the NHL record in hits.
True, but
which is incredible.
There's just nothing you can say, really. He did it. And we all knew he was going to do it.
Yeah.
I just watching the trend of how he was literally scoring goals damn near every night this year, even when he went down with a broken leg and he came back like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You just knew it was going to happen.
Early, by the way. He came back early.
Yes. You know? Just knew it was going to happen, man. Mm-hmm. And it's
destiny. It really was a destiny type situation. And again, mad props to Obi, man. He's an enemy of ours, per se, because he's not a Red Wing, right? And that's just how the natural fandom goes.
But for the record, he's never done anything like bad to the Red Wings like Crosby.
He's not like Crosby, you know what I mean? It's not the same. But, man, you know, congratulations. And for Gretzky to be there through the whole process is really classy by him, and I would expect nothing less, to be honest. What a passing of the torch moment. Do you think he gets to 900 at this point this year?
Of course.
This season? That's fair. I can't bet against him now. Right? I mean, I think 900 is very much in reach at this point. They got, I think 5 games left. Why can't he score 5?
5 goals, 5 games?
Definitely doable now.
Yes.
You know, so he's going to finish the season with, you said, he missed 16, so it's what, 66 games?
And he might, it was like 16, yeah, I was right.
That he missed was 16. So he finished with 66 games, and
he's going to finish with like 46 goals around there, so.
Yeah. And that's incredible. I mean, damn near, creeping up on a goal a game at 39 years old.
39 years old, yeah.
Really incredible. The Russian machine. And now let me ask you the contractual question. Yes, he has another year. He has broken the record. Does he finish his obligation with Washington? Does he take the send-off and go play for his hometown, Russia, like Datsyuk and many other great Russians have done. There's a lot of pride playing for their country, especially on the international stage, that they have not gotten to enjoy a lot of recent years due to a lot of the ongoing conflicts. Do you think that he now honors that last year of his deal? Or do you believe, yeah, I'm going to take it home for my final year and kind of go off in, you know, in the sunset?
No, I think he plays it out. Because you look at it this way. With the offseason they added some very key pieces, and we talked about this in the NHL preview show way back in the summer, where watch out for Washington, because they added some very nice pieces over the summer, and now look at them.
Yeah.
They're very, very much could be the number one seed in the East.
Sure.
Completely. So at that point, yeah, they are Stanley Cup contenders. Mm-hmm. So if say they don't get it done this year, and they've already locked back Chychrun up.
Right.
They signed him to an extension.
Yeah.
I don't think they have any other pendings this summer that really are detrimental to what they got going right now. Uh-huh. So they could very well be contenders for the next 2 years, and I don't see him leaving in the middle of contention while he's still got a contract.
So you're saying possibly beyond 26.
No, not that far.
You mean the end of this contract? Because he's only got one season left.
Correct. Yes.
Right. So you're saying he finishes it out and that's it. He doesn't sign another one-year veteran deal.
Because he'll be 41 by the time that's done.
Yeah. Or do you think there's an internal drive to get to 1,000? Honestly. Mm. At this pace, like, is it unrealistic to think if he might get close to the cup in the next, this year or next year?
Well, they have a 9-point lead for first seed in the East.
I get it.
And they're battling Winnipeg for the President's Trophy currently. Winnipeg and Dallas.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so obviously this is all health and current level of play inclusive. That's 105 goals, right, as it currently stands. 105 goals to hit 1,000. And we'd be asking them to do it in the next 5 games. Plus next season, so 87 regular season games, or if he's within, say, 20
goals here,
huh?
We're talking about 100 plus goals here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't.
So the chase is no longer. It's not there. No, he doesn't care what he ends with now. You're saying it now that he's past Gretzky. Wherever he lands, he's going to be satisfied.
I think so, yes.
Okay, that's fair. I agree. I think that, you know, that's a big gap. I mean, I think 1,000 would be magnificent. But it's not the benchmark. It's not 894 was the benchmark.
Yeah, he got to his benchmark.
Yep. And getting to 900 would mean a little, I think.
Well, there's never been a doubt once he got there that he wasn't going to get over 900.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I'm not saying he couldn't finish with now at this point. He couldn't finish with 950 next year.
I was going to say
seriously. I mean,
I would put it between 925 and 950 if he continues on what he's doing and how he's playing right now.
Sure. I agree. I mean, I think that he, again, you know, props where it's due. And again, just to reiterate, was dead wrong on the prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nice job. I mean, really like fantastic player, really a remarkable legend for our game and another great Russian, really. I mean,
leave it to the trivia stat guy to get it right.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we got to keep you around for a while. Otherwise, you quit playing. You know what I mean? So. No, I mean, good job.
I quit playing. Shit.
I know, right? Nice work.
Guess you didn't come to hockey yesterday.
Didn't come to hockey. To be fair, I came. It was a lot going on. I just came home from vacation with the fam through the airport overnight with kids, you know, obviously, which is always an enjoyable scenario. Turnaround had to go to the Michigan lacrosse game for us. We sponsored Graham Blank, you know, varsity lacrosse and coaching staff. So we had to be there for that. That was a noon game versus Penn State, which they ultimately lost, unfortunately, but it was a really good event. So, yeah, and then our 3:45 earliest start time, I feel like, all season.
It was, yes.
And had I had another hour, I'm in, you know, but it was just timing was tough being in Ann Arbor and having to make it back up here. I ultimately got back up here about 4. So it would have been like really rushing, mm-hmm. leaving something early, whatever, and it just didn't work out. So, but it did for the team. Ended up with a dub. So mm-hmm. Nice work. Who do we have for goal scorers?
Let's see.
I assume you didn't score a goal.
No, I did not.
You did not.
I had a chance in the first period, though, and the goalie made a great save. Tommy and I were on a 2-on-1, mm-hmm. and he did like a drop pass to me in the slot, and I tried to go top corner, but the goalie chicken winged me with his blocker pretty good.
Okay.
But I did save a goal, actually.
Nice work. That's why
I did save a goal. It was in the first period, and they were coming down on a, I think it was a 3-on-2 or 2-on-1, one of the things, and I was back-checking, and like the pass got broken up or something, and it started sliding towards the open net, and I got back in time and got it.
Nice. Yeah, good old defensive forward. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of your favorite things to see. But
goal scorers, Tommy Hagenboo. Who had the other two?
It was 6-2 or something, wasn't it?
4-2.
Oh, 4-2. Oh,
Brandon had two. He put in an empty net with the second left.
Hey.
It was hilarious, actually.
All right.
It got a little rough, too.
Did it?
Tony got into it a little bit. Mikey got into it a little bit. Nice. Mikey actually ragdolled the kid. It was pretty funny.
He what?
Mikey ragdolled the kid. It was pretty funny. They were just battling along the boards, and I don't know what happened. I think because Mikey, he wears a half shield. I think something came up and got him.
Right.
And he just grabbed him and just threw him on the ice and started just. it was pretty funny. Yeah, Tommy Hagenboo had two. Who had the other one?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to bother me. Who was it? I feel like it was Steve or Jake. No, it was Jake. It was Jake.
Okay.
It was just
a Doc.
It was because we were down 2-0 after the first.
Mm-hmm.
Jake had a good forecheck, and Steve had a nice secondary and broke it all up. And it came to just a loose puck in front of the net, and Jake was able to put it in. So
nice. Mm-hmm. There you go, Doc.
Hey, we had a breakaway to where he actually ran into the post.
What? Well, how did you do that?
Well, he scored, then ran into the post.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. At least he was able to pull that off.
And then Tommy with a patent, just 5-hole.
Oh, my
ice
God.
Burner.
Those are burnt. Those
not
suck.
On a breakaway, though.
Those suck, though.
He just burned the guy to the outside and actually put a ice burner 5-hole shot on him.
Man, that was always so frustrating for him to come down at full speed, you know, full set of hands, and he just throws one on the ice. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's like, shit, man. As a goalie, it's just a killer.
Yep.
Well, good for you, boys. You know, that's good stuff. How about. As a recording today, Monday, we got a national championship game here.
It doesn't start till 9:00.
That is ridiculous. I was just going to say
I was just looking it up because I was curious because we have pregame on over here.
Yeah.
I'm like, what time is this actually start? And it says 9:00. Like, what in the fuck? It's Monday night. And they do that for the football game, too.
They do. What it needs to be an hour earlier at minimum. At minimum. You know, like realistically, a 7:30 start time, I think, is reasonable, even 7. But I don't know. I understand.
It should be at least 8:00. That's prime time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even with the West Coast, like, media this and venue that.
They're in San Antonio.
Right. It's just, I don't know, not in West Coast. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a ridiculous start time. But that aside, what do you think, what intrigues you about this matchup, and who do you ultimately think comes out on top?
Is it Houston? I didn't say
Houston and Florida.
Houston, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
I think Florida's rolling on all cylinders right now.
Yeah.
But Houston had a great comeback on Duke.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of good momentum.
And although
too.
Duke kind of did that for themselves too, yes.
Would they have like a 6-point lead with a minute and a half to go or something like
Less
that?
Less than a minute.
Oh, God.
30 seconds, I think it was. Yeah. So it was pretty bad.
I don't know. I think, obviously, Florida's been here more recently than Houston has.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, back in the Olajuwon days, obviously they had it, but obviously, Florida is definitely, they've been a perennial tournament team for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would give the nod to Florida.
Okay. Well, Florida being, you know, the leaders in a lot of offensive categories. Conversely, you know, Houston is the best defensive efficiency rating in college basketball this season for Division I. And, you know, so it's a classic matchup of David versus Goliath, right? You know, and it's intriguing. I think typically you would say that defense always wins championships wins championships.
Usually.
But yeah, sometimes there's just an offense is too much to handle. I agree. I think Florida ultimately pulls this one out. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch. Mm-hmm. And yes, either team can absolutely win this game. tough run, if you will, by either squad. Whether it be offensively or defensively, can definitely sink them in this kind of game. Both teams deserve to be there, being one seeds and kind of an uneventful Final Four to begin with. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, you can't say that they're not seeds, no one seeds for a reason, and right, that they right. definitely can't win either on either side. So again, is it one of those you know expected to see this year? In a lot of ways, yes. In a lot of ways, no. But you know, it should be an interesting matchup nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of basketball,
yeah,
Detroit
basketball
officially clinched.
Yes.
Playoff spot. No play-in bullshit.
Yes.
They are top six. And they could get to the fifth seed. They're only one game back of Milwaukee with four games left.
Which would take them out of play-in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Which they would be favorable, but not... I would say the one nemesis in the East this year is Indiana to Detroit, for sure. Boston, I don't think that's the worst team Detroit can face. If I'm being completely honest with you, I think I'd rather play Boston than Indiana. Only because I think that the Pistons match up a little better against Boston. Halliburton is a Piston killer and has been for a while. Yeah. And he has been so good. But nevertheless, man, the Pistons, man, just keep rocking. Have tripled their win total from last year. The first time that's ever happened. And then to make the playoffs on top of that, what a turnaround. The culture, the accountability, and the defense that Bickerstaff has brought to Detroit has really helped elevate the squad.
Right.
Not to mention, they might get Jaden Ivey back on top of this team. That's pretty cool.
I wonder what role he would, because the team's just rolling right now. Depth. I wonder what they
can't,
put. Yeah.
Can't hurt to have him. And he's a guy that can go off every third game, and that's kind of what playoffs are, right? Like, you might throw him out there, and he goes and gives you an 8-point spark, and he comes out the game for the rest of the game. But that 8 points is what helped propel you the rest of the squad to a win. I mean, he's a good guy for that. I would, especially coming off an injury, he's not going to play starter minutes or get plugged right in. I don't believe that. But he could definitely come off and play a very capable bench role and give them a good spark with all the experience that he does have. So really looking forward. Pistons can make some noise in the playoffs. I don't expect them to win the title, but I definitely don't see it being unrealistic. They can advance for sure.
So keeping on the Detroit bandwagon here, we got the Tigers have officially started since our absence.
Yes.
Tough series to start where they got to go to the juggernaut Dodgers.
Right.
Get swept out there, but they didn't play bad.
Two of the games were winnable games.
Exactly. They didn't play bad. They didn't get blown out or anything like that.
Right.
They actually went to extras, I think, in one of them, right? So they got swept by the Dodgers, which I think anyone would. They actually just lost 2 of 3 to the Phillies, which surprised me.
Yeah. Phillies are good, though. But, they're a playoff team.
Yeah. And then they go up to Seattle, take 2 out of 3 in Seattle. So they're coming came back to Detroit 2-4, which at that point everyone in the AL Central was 2-4.
Yeah, they were all tied for the division lead at 2-4, which is incredible.
Then a 3-game set over the weekend with the White Sox swept them out with a walk-off win.
They should, though, honestly.
Right. So. Right. Swept them, and then start of a series against the Yankees today and beat them to a pulp today.
Yep, 6-2 was it, I think, or
something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, and you know, one of the biggest surprises, I'll give you two things. One of the biggest surprises I've heard from Tigers fans has been some of the hate on Skubal, right? So Skubal came out, his very first game, he started the season against the Dodgers, the best team in baseball. Nobody questions that. Okay.
Right.
He goes out and pitches a decent game. It's not a dominant, you know, one earned run or less game that we've gotten from Skubal, but God, he's a human being.
The thing is, dude, he wasn't going to come out this season go 20-0.
Come on, give him some slack here,
with
guys.
Like a 0.1 ERA. He's that shit wasn't going to happen.
Pitcher. By far our best pitcher. Is his ERA over 5? Sure is. It's also 2 games. His second game against Seattle, not his best moment. Gave up 3 earned runs. Okay.
Right.
That's not like somebody you throw in the bullpen. Like, that's a solid.
Dude, it's April, guys.
But I'm saying it's a solid. That's that right there, April. Giving up 3 runs is a solid 4 or 5 starter in a lot of cases.
It's right? Fucking April.
And you're bitching about that production. If that's the worst he gives you, I'm all set.
Right.
Also, as Brett alluded to, it is April. It's the first 2 starts of the year. Is anybody going to bitch when he goes 5-0 in the last 2 months with a sub-1 ERA and striking out everybody under the sun? I don't think so.
You look at it this way. I was first game against the Dodgers. He actually pitched pretty good, but the Dodgers are literally a fucking juggernaut.
You can't get around that lineup anywhere. Everybody can hit, you know?
So now they sit at, so they took 2 of 3 from Seattle, and they've won the
six
last
and
four. So they're on a 4-game win streak, so they're sitting at 6-4 through 10 games.
I'm not upset about it.
With two very tough series to start.
Right.
On the road in LA and on the road in Seattle. And Seattle's supposed to be really good this year, too. Mm-hmm. And you took two of three from them.
Mm-hmm.
6-4 might to start
help you
the
out
year.
Down the road, too. That series might come back mm-hmm. and haunt Seattle and if you know if they're in a wild card
right, right.
or whatever that chase might be. So, well, I got to like what I see so far. Also, Casey Mize has looked his part this year. A lot of hype around mm-hmm. him coming out of spring training. You know, had his doubts by Tigers fans and organization alike. Being a first, you know, first overall pick from the Tigers several years ago, has never quite lived up to that ranking. You know, dealt with some injuries and such, and
pitched a great game today.
He's pitched well coming out of spring training. He
six innings, four hits, one earned run, six Ks.
Yeah, and look at his ERA great for game. The start to the season.
Great game.
What's his ERA to start the year? Less than one, probably.
0.77.
So far, limited sample size. Conversely, the same as Skubal. Like, don't write him off. Don't write Mize in, because a lot can happen. Injuries mm-hmm. derail the season. So far, though, to see him come out pitching like that is exactly mm-hmm. what the Tigers need to make another leap. They actually have a pretty decent pitching staff. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised to see Andrew Chafin sent down to the minor leagues. I was really surprised to see Foley sent down. Two guys that have played pivotal roles for this Tigers bullpen in the past years. But if that speaks to the depth they have in the bullpen, I'm okay with right. it. And, you know, obviously you throw them out there. Now you got Skubal. You know, you've got Mize. You got Jack Flaherty out there tossing dimes. You know, and you've got your three. You know, it starts to become this, okay, we've got a staff. Mm-hmm. And they've got some other guys that are going to help out too. Reese Olson's looked really good. You know, so they've got 4 to 5 easily with probably 6 to 7 actual guys that can go out and throw a ball any day and win them a ball game. And is the offense compromised? Yes. Yes, it is. They didn't do a lot to change that. Somehow, Javi Baez has hit a few baseballs this year.
He made a great defensive play today, too. See that double play?
I will not reserve judgment on him. I did, yes. I will not reserve judgment on him for a while. He has really caused way too much harm in our minds so far. But nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see. And I hope the Tigers will be so much better of a team for it if he has a year.
Right.
A mild year. How about if he bats replacement level baseball? He can go out and hit 250, pop 15 home runs, and let's call it 60 RBIs. Not an incredible season, but 250, 260, you know, with 15 homers and 60 RBIs.
One thing that's nice,
I'd take that from
one
Javi.
Thing that's also very nice to see is that through 10 games, the bats are working.
So far.
Riley Green has 3 home runs. I think Carpenter's got 3 home runs.
Yeah.
Riley Green's batting .317. Torque is at .289.
Mm-hmm. And I will get with him in a second.
Let's see. McKinstry, .321. Javi Baez, .318.
Unbelievable. Don't.
Dingler,
that.
.316.
He's been a monster.
That in this recent sign, Emmanuel Margot, .316.
Been looking good so far. It's so early, guys. Ten games.
Gleyber Torres, .429.
It's so early.
Yes. Yes. But.
Agreed. What are we looking at?
What was one thing that the Tigers struggled with hitting. A little bit last year was hitting.
Oh, sure. So they've struggled with that for a long time.
To see this through 10 games so far.
Is very encouraging.
They got an average of .270 batting average right now.
Yeah, I'll take that all day. Mm-hmm. I'll take that. And you're going to see some regression from some of those numbers. So even if they land around .255, .260, you know, maybe a few more pops, more at ribbies. I mean, overall, I think the other numbers will level out. But, yeah, I mean, obviously having Javi out there hitting anything at all is better than what we got the last couple of years. You know, Margot, if he turns out to be an average guy, cool. Meadows might be out for the year. His nerve issue sounds bad. And it's never good to hear. He's got a little bit of a nerve issue, and we haven't been able to calm it down.
Mm-hmm.
That screams to me season-ending injury, and I worry about that. Is that been declared yet? No, the team will not do that this early in the year. They'll wait till June or late July and go, you know what, by the time he gets back in it, gets conditioned, starts playing games, it's not best for his long-term health. Knowing damn well they probably knew it in April.
Mm-hmm.
However, it doesn't sound good, and that's a big part of this defense that we're going to be missing for possibly the entire season. So if Margot works out, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Javi in the outfield has been a real possibility. You know, long term, depending on how he does, with Green being in a corner, Carpenter, you know, you've still got some dudes out there that can play ball. Mm-hmm. So I hope that the Tigers can hold this level of success. If they play, you know, essentially, what, 600 baseball all year, they'd be pretty damn good by the end of the season. So
right.
I got to tell you, I mean, I'm not upset about it so far.
One cool thing about Margot.
Yeah.
So when I lived down in the Southwest.
Yep.
I saw Margot play AAA baseball.
Where?
He was on the El Paso Chihuahuas, the games I used to go to quite a bit.
No kidding.
He was, yep, he was there. So that's why when I saw that name pop up, I'm like, oh, no shit. Nice.
That's cool. That's super cool.
So,
well, so far, he's been pretty good.
Let's talk about the Red Wings, since we're hitting on all facets here. Obviously, March ended horribly, and they have essentially have shot themselves in the foot and
Six games left.
Yeah, 6 games left, 6 points out.
Yeah.
It's tough. Montreal is on a roll, but the only good thing about that is they do actually have a head-to-head matchup with Montreal tomorrow on Tuesday.
That is the season.
Right there.
That game is the
but
season.
Look at it this way. I was talking about this with a couple guys at hockey last night, that just you just can't lose. You can't lose coming in, because if you lose, you're done. You can't lose a game coming in. If you want any shot, you got to win every single game coming in.
So, Montreal, if I'm not mistaken, has 5 games left. Red Wings have 6. So, Red Wings do have a game in hand, I believe. So, winning at Montreal puts it at a 4-point swing with a game in hand, which the Red Wings then would consequently have to win. So, you're talking about at that junction possibly being 2 points behind in that frame of mind. However, a loss puts them a game in hand still, obviously, but 8 points behind, they won't overcome that in 5 games.
No, you can't.
Unless Montreal lost all of their games and you won all of your games, which have not proven you can do that at all this year.
Right.
This is the season in the Montreal game.
Mm-hmm.
Would I love to see some last year Raymond hockey by to this team? Best hockey we've watched in a long time.
Right.
I just don't know why we want to become the Cardiac Cats here. And want to make it come down to the last few games. I mean, they had all the chance to bury this season or get in the playoffs in March and failed.
I agree with you, man. But with this past weekend, they had a Friday game against the Canes.
Right.
And then a game yesterday against the Panthers.
Right.
And they actually went out and won those games.
They had to.
So big wins there.
Sure.
Against two really good teams, two playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's desperation time. And then, obviously, you have the even bigger matchup tomorrow night against Montreal.
Yep.
But yeah, like I agree with you. It's the season. You're playing for your season tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I'm still
on the point of like I can't stand some of these Red Wings people on social media where they're saying Eisman should be fired. This, that, and the other thing. He should have done this, that, and the other thing at the deadline. Who the fuck did you want him to give up for your future to get a first round exit? Just to say we made the playoffs, but then watch what you traded away is very detrimental to the future, and then you don't get back in the fucking playoffs next year.
Right.
No, I want a team that will be consistently in the playoffs, and that's what this team is building for.
Well, I wasn't super pumped with the lack of any real additions at the deadline. I can understand not swinging a big, you know, prospect package for a star. I can justify that to a degree in the middle of the season, especially this particular season. Like you mentioned, they were already fringe. If it was like, hey, we're dominating to a degree, or we're 1 or 2 seed, and we want to go out and solidify it, I'm in.
That's when you do it. When you're a cusp wild card
team. But if you're a cusp wild card team, may not even make the playoffs. I understand that logic. So but I don't understand not getting a Marchessault, for example.
Okay.
You're not going to give up your 1A and 1B prospects out of your pool for Marchessault.
But that's probably what they're asking for.
That's not what they're going to get, though. And exactly. Knowing Eisenman, he would have never gave that up anyway.
And that's exactly what probably happened.
I'm okay with giving up, like, and if you're going A through E, let's just say, like, if I give up a C and D prospect, a couple of them even, just because of the logjam we have in general, I'll take a swing at that guy. Yes. If it turns out to be just to get in the playoffs, I'm cool with that because that does take that team mentally a little bit and puts them here and go, okay, we can make the playoffs. Marchessault, if I'm not mistaken, also has another year or two on his deal.
But that's the thing. Yeah, I would want somebody that wants term.
It's got term or wants
so
term.
So it's not just a rental and then they just go off on their
that
fucking
aside,
way
I mean,
at the end of the year.
The team is flawed and Eisman knew that.
But the thing is, like at the deadline, you saw what some of these players were getting, like the returns.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me, I bet you any trade that Yzerman tried to propose, they wanted someone like Kasper, Danielson, Mazur, all your literal future.
Yeah.
They wanted those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give that up for, say, a half a season of Marner, and then him walk and sign somewhere else at the end of the summer?
I.e. Carolina.
Exactly.
Gensel.
And that's my thing. That's what would have happened.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened. Unless you can sign and trade someone that signs for another 5 years.
Yeah, or it's got a contract term and you have that other team eat some salary.
Right. But other than that, no. Right. And so that's my thing. It's just like, you wanted them to literally sell the fucking future just to make the playoffs and get a first-round exit because they'll end up playing fucking Washington or...
Yeah, and whoever. I don't agree, for Yzerman being canned at all. I mean, he's completely reshaped this team. And am I frustrated as a fan? Absolutely. Do I think the team should be better? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And that falls on everybody, and that includes the front office. Let's be very clear. Everybody has a role. At the end of the day, this is a business. You're very much judged by wins and losses and your production, and you have to be pretty much consistently ascending or you get fired. And also, it's not what have you done for me in the past, it's what have you done for me lately. Is Yzerman iconic? Yes. Is he a legend in Detroit? Also, yes. He might be given a longer leash than some, but it's not infinite.
Right.
And at some point, if he continues, and I say under-deliver very softly here only because I don't feel that he has under-delivered, but maybe cumulatively the team has, and maybe some of those decisions follow him, whatever. But if you have consistent underachieving, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if Yzerman can't fix it, he should fall for that as the GM at some point.
Are they underachieving, though, currently?
That's what I just said. No.
I don't think they are either. I think they're literally right where...
I personally expect them in the playoffs this year. I'm not saying, one seed. Mm-hmm. I definitely expect them in the playoffs this year. That's documented, and I think they should have been. With the talent they had, I think the Lalonde thing fucked them.
That's the only gripe I have about what Yzerman's done with this team was he didn't fire Lalonde sooner. They went on that West Coast swing and lost to all those motherfuckers.
He should have been retained.
No, I think, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he have been? He had him on the cusp of the playoffs last year, and he improved from year one to year two. There was no reason to can him.
But you had two consecutive marches where this team completely collapsed before the playoffs.
But at the same time, they still improved, and they were still right there. So in my opinion, there wasn't a reason to can him.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely gave you a reason for how they started the year. And then in that November, they went and lost to L.A., Anaheim, and San Jose on one road trip.
Yep, I remember.
And that's we talked about that. It's like he needs to be left in San Jose if they lose to San Jose. And what the fuck they did?
I.e. Tom McClellan.
And that's when they should have started the process.
Right. And maybe they did. Maybe that's how they got to Todd.
They shouldn't have waited another month because that was another 10 games that could have been totally different.
That's what killed their season. Obviously they killed their own season, let's be clear. But yes, I agree with you. I think that's one thing that I could have seen he done differently. But shame on those fans that have given up on Yzerman so far.
Here's a prime example of why you don't want Yzerman to, at this current point in time, try to trade for people at the deadline for a short-term rental. Look what Ken Holland did to try and keep that playoff streak alive in his last few years.
He literally
traded the fucking future for literally piece of shit rentals that never even came back.
David Leguan.
David Leguan. Stephen fucking Weiss. He didn't trade for him. He signed him. Franz Nielsen signed him for God knows how long. And then
Erickson.
Marek Zidlicky.
Erickson was a bad signing.
And then, all these names. They literally spent 20 games with the Red Wings and never came back.
Yeah.
Erik Cole played two games for the Red Wings.
Terrible.
And it's like, that's exactly what would have happened. Yes. And look where they're currently at now.
And although I love...
Yzerman literally had to rebuild the whole prospect pool from fucking literally point A.
Yeah.
And he's done that.
Right.
Yeah, they're not... And NHL prospects don't jump straight to the league unless you're a Connor McDavid or a Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
They take 1 to 2 to 3 years to mold into a professional hockey player because you're taking kids out of juniors, college, wherever. Totally different game. They got to learn the game differently.
Yes.
Pro game is way different.
Sure.
So that's where that 1 to 2 to 3 years comes in.
Well, yeah. And again, like, I don't care who the hell you are, unless you are one of the full top 10 at best athletes in the NHL, you didn't make that jump anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. A lot of late bloomers in life, you know, it's been proven time and time again, or later bloomers. But so that doesn't happen. That's less the norm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, fans expecting these college guys that they may have done fantastic in college or juniors or wherever to come in and just be an impact guy right away. Connor McDavid, let's do it. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So, yes, there's some development, and some of these Red Wings had developed right before our eyes. Lucas Raymond has continued to get better. Seider has continued to get better.
Seider spent a year in Grand Rapids before coming to Detroit.
Right. That's a prime one. Rasmussen, he spent some time. Mm-hmm. He's gotten better year after year.
Larkin was in Grand Rapids at one point, too.
Yeah.
So, it's like, yeah, it's a totally different game, and that's why some of these people that want to jump ship and say blow it up again, it's just like, really?
I don't doubt that some changes need to be made in the pro scouting department.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think some tweaks can't be made there to make you better, have a little bit more of an edge, or get you back up to par, one or the other. But I don't think you burn it down, man.
Right.
It's so hard to get to where you're at right now. To be honest, look at where we were 5 years ago.
Right.
I mean, we were at the bottom of the bottom, and to get to even this point is a mild miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So careful what you wish for. It's not always greener on the other side.
So let's wrap this episode up. Let's do a little fun. Oop. So I talked to you about this right before we started recording. Found this website called Sporkle.
Okay.
And I found a list that we could do together. And we have an 8-minute timer on it.
Okay.
So we're naming the Stanley Cup Finals since 1980.
Oh, my God.
We're naming the champion, the finalist, and Conn Smythe if we're feeling that frisky.
No way. I can't do this list.
I got some of it. We got this.
I hope you have all of it, because there's no way I'm going to remember any of that.
We got this. You ready? We got this.
1980 with Miracle on Ice. That's all I remember.
Well, we could start recent. We don't have to go in order. We can start recent.
I would prefer that.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Last season.
Last season, yep.
Edmonton versus
Panthers.
Yes, and Edmonton.
Anyone
lost.
Know the funny thing?
Game
so
seven.
When you put in a team name, they just fill in everywhere else if they're already on there.
Oh,
so
on the list at all?
So we've already with the Oilers itself, we've already knocked out quite a bit of the 80s.
I got you. Okay, so Panthers, Oilers, and Panthers won. The year prior was
Vegas.
Vegas beat Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The year before that, Boston.
No, it was Avs and Lightning.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right, because that's the year I think Boston had the President's Trophy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they whittled out? Okay. So Avs and Lightning. Avs obviously won that. Prior to that, what year was that?
Lightning again. But since I already put the Lightning in, we're already to 2019, bub, for Stanley Cup champion. But who did Tampa play in the 21 Stanley Cup Finals? That I know who it is. It was the weird year. Montreal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, it was Montreal.
Then in the COVID year, in the bubble, was
changed,
the Stars.
Yes, they changed the seating and format. Yep, that's right, because of COVID.
So now we're in 2019, which was St. Louis.
Glory.
Against the Bruins.
Yes.
Now we're at 2017-18, which we already have the runner-up of Vegas, which was...
Washington. Ovechkin's first cup.
Mm-hmm. 2017, Pens.
Pens won.
We knocked out 2 years there. Who'd they play in the 17 final?
L.A.?
Nope.
No.
Preds. Predators. Ah, then they played the Sharks the year before that.
Okay.
So now we're in 2015, so now we're in the Blackhawks era.
Yep.
So we already just knocked out a couple with the Blackhawks. 2014.
They beat L.A. in 14 in game. Oh, that was the...
You're right with LA, though. LA won in 14 and 12.
Is that what it was?
So, with all that, we're already to 2008.
Wow,
but we need who the Kings play in 14. That was the Rangers.
Okay.
In 12, they played the Devils.
Yes.
So
I do remember those.
And 2010-11, Bruins played the Canucks.
Is that the Ryan Miller Canucks days?
No.
Is that when that was?
That was the Luongo Canuck days.
Luongo, okay, gotcha.
In 10, the Blackhawks played the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're at, and then We'll fill in a couple blanks here. Who won in 08?
Red Wings against Pens. Pens won in 09 versus Red Wings.
Yep. So we already got that. So now we're at 2007, and that was the Ducks against the Senators.
And they beat the Red Wings on the way to the Cup that year.
In the conference final, yep. 05-06.
Yep.
Do you know?
Carolina.
Yeah, here we go. Now you're cooking.
04 was Red Wings.
So funny?
They played Carolina in 04.
Want to know what's so funny? Yeah. We're already to 1989.
Oh, boy.
With how many? Because we've put in the Devils, put
in
the Rangers.
Let me think. See if I can guess the champions at minimum or some version of the of this.
1989, was it not a common champion? And it's their only championship ever.
Not a common champion, only championship ever. New York Islanders.
No.
No, they have several. Sorry.
Right. Oof. And this will also knock out the 2004 finalist as well.
The what?
This will also knock out who Tampa played in 2004 final.
Oh, Red Wings won in 02, not 04. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's right. Dallas.
Dallas is already in here.
Oh, they are. Okay. Who did? I don't know. Who is
Tampa
that?
Played Calgary.
Yes, they
and
did.
And then the Flames won in 89.
That's my boy's team. That's Kiprasov's days, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
The Flames beat the Wings in that year, too.
Yep.
So now we got... Who played the Stars in the 99 Cup Final? You should know this because you love this guy, and he played for this team forever.
Buffalo.
Dominic
Hasek.
Mm-hmm.
And had a big-time game in that series, too.
So we are literally all the way to... We damn near got this.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, not really. With autofill, we may have gotten it.
Well, I would have gotten it.
Okay, that's probably true, actually. But
so now 81, 82, 83... It's one answer.
Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like bossy days.
Right? And also that filled in who Edmonton beat in 84.
Yeah.
So we literally got all the champions and all the finalists.
Nice.
That's what I love about this is it fills it all in. So do you want to try and do some Conn Smythe here? We can start with the Red Wing days. We'll start with the Red Wing days.
Okay.
So who won the Conn Smythe for the Red Wings in 97?
In 97, Conn Smythe would have been Fedorov.
No, Vernon.
Okay, cool. Okay, I did not remember that. Okay, excellent.
Put in Patrick Waugh's name because he won in 01 and 93.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Leetch was the Conn Smythe winner for the Rangers in 94. Brodeur, I know, won it. Brodeur never won it. Wow, that's crazy. Crosby has won it a couple times. Malkin has also won.
Zetterberg had it in 08.
Zetterberg had it, yep. Just start listing some names. Oh, Brad Richards won it for
Jonathan Taves.
Jonathan Taves did win.
Patrick Kane.
Kane did win, yep.
Duncan Keith.
Keith did win one. Good job. There you go. Now you're cooking with gas.
Yep.
MacKinnon was not. It was Makar.
Marchand.
No. Boston was Boston. Tim Thomas. Davidson's own Tim Thomas.
Welcome.
2012 was Quickie.
If you remind me of the teams, I can probably help you with some.
So 2014 Kings.
Kopitar.
I think it was. It was not.
Oh, so it would have been Mike Richards or Justin Williams?
Williams. It was Williams. Justin Williams. Good job. Nice.
Okay.
2007 Ducks.
Getzlaf. Or was it Perry?
Niedermeyer.
Niedermeyer. No way. Okay.
Scott Niedermeyer.
Nice. That's a legend. Him and his brother both played. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
06 Carolina Hurricanes. It was a
Francis.
Goalie.
Cam Ward.
Ward. There you go. 03. Devils Ducks.
Devils Ducks. And who won that one?
It was not anyone from the Devils. It was another goalie.
Brzgalov.
Shiger.
J.S. Shiger. Okay.
Was that Elias? No.
What was 02? 02 was the Red Wings. Okay.
So we got... Oh, O'Reilly won it for the...
St. Louis Blues in 19.
Ovechkin.
For the Caps.
Yep.
Crosby before that.
We already got Crosby in there. We need...
Who
are
we missing?
Tampa in...
04?
In both 20 and 21. I already got 04 was Brad Richards.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we need Tampa's two COVID wins. I think Hedman was one of them.
Stammer?
Hedman was one. No, it wasn't Stamkos.
Ty Johnson.
No, it was Vasilevsky, but I don't know how to spell his name.
V-A-S-I-E, or I-L-E-V-S-K-Y.
No, that's not how we spell it, but oh well. Okay. Who won it for the Panthers?
Kachuk.
Barkov? Was it Kachuk? No, it was Bob. I think it was Bob.
Bobrovsky. He did have a hell of a run, too.
No, it wasn't him either.
So if it's not Barkov, it'd be Ekblad.
It wasn't Ekblad either.
And it wasn't Tkachuk? How about Huberto at that time?
Oh, McDavid.
Oh, he did. Fuck, he
that is right. Damn winner. It.
Okay. Okay, that does.
So, yeah, we did give Vasilevskiy Ray. I just didn't know how to spell it. Okay. It's actually spelled Vasilevsky.
That was close.
Stupid.
That was close. Well, he's right.
And Marchessault did win for the... I just
Vegas,
also...
Right? He won it for Vegas.
Vegas. Mm-hmm. Scott Stevens, Joe Nieuwendyk.
For the Devils.
Joe Nieuwendyk won for the Stars. Yeah, Joe Nieuwendyk was a star for the Devils.
Yep.
Scott Stevens won it in 2000 with the Devils.
Yep.
Oh, we could have got Sakic.
Yeah.
And Mario.
Yes.
Gretzky.
You know Salazar at the rink?
Mm-hmm.
His mom, her maiden last name is Lemieux. And she is third cousins with Mario and has pictures.
Nice.
With Mario Lemieux.
Yeah, we could have got Claude Lemieux, too. Claude Lemieux won it with the Devils in 95.
Wow.
But we got 86%.
It's not bad.
Hell yeah.
I'll take it.
And it was just Conn Smythe, guys.
Okay.
See?
All right.
It wasn't that bad. And we just ran out of time is all it was.
Well, we ran out of time here, too.
Yep.
So thanks for tuning in, guys. Obviously, I 100% again publicly apologize for being wrong on the Ovechkin thing.
Dumbass.
Way to have a good take on that and a legend, you know, and props to you. Heck of a jersey, by the way. Without further ado, though, I'm Brett with 1T signing off.
Yeah. You all have a great week. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.
See ya.